All right, good morning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as we open up there, I really appreciate the message Brother Eric brought this morning. Really, you know, and he laid the foundation so nicely for what I'm going to talk about this morning too. And on the subject of the World Wide Web and the local church. And the question I have for you this morning, and what I really want to have you think about this morning, and I think we all need to think about it, is does the World Wide Web and the social media, which is part of the World Wide Web, replace the local church? Don't we need local churches anymore now that we have everything on the internet and, you know, and we can just attend church by doing that? So I was thinking this morning, for my message, I'm just going to press this recording button and put it on here to play and walk out there and have some coffee out there. And when it's done, I'll come back and say, okay, I hope you enjoyed all that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But as we start off in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Father, we thank you this morning for your word again. We thank you that we can consider it. We thank you that it works in us effectually as we believe it. And we thank you as we consider your word, that you give us understanding in all things. As we pray, thank you for this by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, one of the things that I want to talk to you about this morning is things that I observed in this last few years as the social media and has really just taken off. And people are just, everybody's got a Facebook account, everybody's got a Twitter account, everybody's following Twitter and stuff. I mean, even Ray, Watson, even he's got a Facebook account. I'm sitting down, I don't even have an iPod, and he's sitting there, and he's working on it. And I think it's a great thing to be in contact with everybody and do that, you know. And, you know, I enjoy the Facebook, especially that I have with my family down in South Africa. I can speak to my, you know, I can get a hold of my sisters and see what they're doing, and my parents and my other family and some of the saints. I can see what they're doing and, you know, be in contact with that. So I'm not here to bash Facebook or bash the social media or bash the internet. I'm here to say if that takes, in your life or whoever's life, takes the place of the local church, I want to bash you, because I want God's word needs to bash you, because God has a plan and a purpose. And Brother Eric is late this morning so eloquently this morning the issue of the local church and the importance of the local church, and that's where God works. And so we want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to just give you my input and understanding of the effects that I have noticed. Okay, I deliberately didn't go to Google or Bing and search up the church and the local and the social media to figure out what they have to say about it, because I want to give you my opinions about this. Okay, and sometimes, you know, somebody used to say, we all have an opinion or two, you know, and so we also have two armpits. Both stinks sometimes, you know, but you know, who knows? So maybe you're going to like what I've got to say. Maybe you're going to disprove of what I say. But that's okay. You know, we're members in particular and members of one another. And I'm allowed to raise my opinion in light of what I understand God's word. Okay? I also do realize that choosing this topic of the World Wide Web and the local church, I bit off much more than I can chew in 45 minutes. You know, this is a subject that needs much more consideration and much more. So maybe this morning I can just whet your appetite about that. I'm not here to tell you what you should and what you should not do. You should not be connected with social media, or you should be connected with the social media. You should have a web church and not a local church, or you shouldn't be one of a web church, and et cetera, et cetera. That's not my job, okay? My job is to tell you that Romans chapter 14, verse 22. Turn with me there quickly. Romans chapter 14 and verse 22 says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth himself, not in the thing which he alloweth." You have a faith, you have it before God. Okay, and happy is the man that condemns himself, not in the thing that he allows. Okay, I'm also not here to have dominion over your faith. That's the last place that I've learned in my ministry over the years, is that I honestly do not want to have dominion over everybody's faith. I really want to be, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, I want to be a helper of your joy. Because you need to stand by faith, and I need to stand by faith, and we all, as members in particular, the body of Christ, need to stand by faith. That's where we need to stand. So yeah, I'm not here to have dominion over you. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things what? Edify not." And so we need to, as members in particular of this body, of this building of God is putting to, this holy temple of the Lord that he inhabits, you and I, as members of the body of Christ, we need to consider what we do and how we do that, and how that fits in with the doctrine and the pattern that Brother Eric spoke about this morning. How do what we do fit in with that pattern? And does it complement the pattern, or does it work against the pattern? If it works against the pattern, we need to quit what we're doing and get with the pattern, and get with the doctrine, and let that work in us. You understand what I'm saying? So the World Wide Web by definition, this one I Googled. And it says the World Wide Web refers to the World Wide Web, simply to the web. The World Wide Web consists of all the public websites connected to the internet worldwide, including the client devices such as computers and cell phones and access web content, etc., etc. I think everybody here, just about that I know of, is, although I've met a few guys that still has phones that flips open. And there's a few of them around, yeah. But you know, but everybody is connected to the social media and the worldwide in some way. Or you know, you almost can't exist without having those things. Okay, and so the web. If I also want to give you a little bit of a definition of my personal definition of the web, a web is something that a spider puts up. And the reason why a spider puts a web up is not for it to look beautiful in the morning so that you can lie on it and say, "Oh, what a beautiful web." No, the web's out there to catch prey. And it's out there as a trap and it's a snare. Okay? And so with the World Wide Web, I want to warn you, and I want to say to you, and I think, personally in my life, I'm thinking it, you know, it's almost too good to be true. We have this access into every house and access. We can put this message out there, and it's wonderful. And we think, "Oh, this is great. We can get it out there." But I want to say, we also need to be careful about this. This immediate access we have to everything so quickly and just instantly. Everything is instant. We learn not to be patient anymore because we want everything now, you know. And it's just access to it right now, just by pressing the button, you know. And as some of you guys know, I restore a lot of old motorcycles and stuff like that. And so I always try to support the local dealers. And I go to the local dealers and say, "I'm looking for a chain. And it needs to be this size chain, a 520, 525, whatever chain it is I'm looking for." And he says, "Well, I don't carry it in stock, but I can get it to you in 2 weeks, you know, or 5 to 10 days. I can have it here and you can come pick it up." And I said, "Well, I'd rather go home and I'll order it online and I can have it in 2 days. You know, and so it's really nice to have that access to everything. You know, a little while ago I went to the doctor, and without telling you why I went there, and a test they ran on me, you know. But his advice to me, he said to me, "You know, if something tastes very nice, and it tastes so good, you probably need to spit it out because it's probably not going to be good for you, you know. And so with this World Wide Web and the social and this opening of everything else, it's almost too good to be true. And so we need to be very careful how we taste about on that and how we get ourselves involved in that and how we allow those things to draw us in and draw us away from the truth. Because do not forget that the satanic policy of evil should take you away from God's word and from God, from the doctrine and for the pattern that God has for us and what he wants us to do. We need to be careful about that. The final authority is still the word of God. And whatever we do, okay, it's not never changed in time. Whatever we do, if it doesn't measure up with the word of God, we need to quit what we're doing and make sure that it complements and it fits in with what God's word is doing. Amen. We have to be careful about those things, okay? Proverbs 25, verse 16. Turn with me quickly to Proverbs there. Proverbs 25 verse 16 says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Because sometimes, you know, honey is a good thing, right? But what happens if you eat too much honey? Not as what is sufficient. You'll bring it up. You'll get sick. And that's what happens. And so we have to be careful about these things. Now, some of the things I'm not going to focus on these things and too much on a negative light, but I want to give you a little bit of just some of my observations about what's going on here. Most of us have a Twitter. I don't know how many have Twitter accounts because I'm not really on Twitter, but I'm on Facebook. So I know there's a Twitter account and I know there's MySpace and Facebook and there's some other stuff. I don't know all of that out there. I do have a Facebook account. And we church have a Facebook account and we do use it for the ministry. To a degree, I imagine. But everybody's got a Facebook account. Most people have a Facebook account. And I don't know, as I observe what's going on Facebook, everybody seems to be a celebrity nowadays. You know, because they got now a Facebook account and they have a status. And their status, they have all these friends they have now. And it accumulates. Look at all my friends I have on Facebook, you know. And look at all the followers I accumulated, you know. Look at all these people that's hearing me and listening to me that I have. That's following what I've got to say. And so I've almost become like a celebrity. And there's some celebrities out there, let me tell you. So even in the Grace Movement, and I'm not going to mention names here. My wife told me, you don't mention names now because I normally let them slip out, you know. So, Richard, you're not the only one that your wife tells you what to say or not to say, but, you know, my wife tells me too, you know. And she said, you don't mention names now this morning, and I won't mention names, so I will bite my tongue. But they're celebrities, and among Grace people, you know, and possibly most of you that's connected with Grace friends and Grace guys that are believers, you're probably a friend with some of these guys, you know. And they're all out there, you know, they're celebrity. And they self-acclaim certain... Okay, I'm not going to say anything because you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so... but they're out there. And there's a particular guy down there where I'm in the area where I am at, you know, and he's a celebrity. Everybody knows about him and everybody's friends with him and everybody talks to him. But he's not part of a local church. And he doesn't believe there should be a local church. He said, "We're only the body of Christ, and there shouldn't be local churches." And he doesn't come to any meetings, and he doesn't fellowship with saints. But he's fellowshipping with everybody online, but he's not fellowshipping with people in life on one-on-one basis and with group and stuff like that. But he's a celebrity, okay? And that Proverbs, you were in Proverbs 25 there, verse 27 says, "It's not good to eat much honey, for when men search their own glory, it's not glory." Okay, so just throw it in there for what it's worth, okay? What I've noticed is that everybody and his dog, if you will, that has access to the internet and has a camera, now suddenly has a pulpit in his house and feel he has now a ministry that he can now, I might have this platform and this is my ministry and I can have a ministry and I'm going to have a bunch of people that's going to follow me and I'm going to teach a bunch of people, okay? But they're not part of a local assembly. They're not part of God's purpose and plan, what he's doing through the local assembly and the local churches that God established, but they have a ministry. And they have followers and they're teaching people, women teaching men and all these things, all contrary to the doctrine. Yeah. And they compare themselves among themselves and things like that. Okay? When the scripture talks about they'll be lovers of themselves. I didn't have my cell phone with me now. But you know, you've seen this. Have you seen Facebook already? It's all self-pictures. All self-pictures. Look at me. Look in the mirror. You know, and it's just... And just promoting themselves and putting themselves up there, and sometimes shameful stuff. I had to unfriend a bunch of people just because of some of that stuff. Because I don't want to be part of that. Busybodies. Busybodies. All the time on there. You know, I don't know, some people, and you know, I confess, for me to find this out and to see this, I had to go up there to see who's on there. So I'm guilty of going up there to see who's on there. But there's some people, every time I go on there, they're on there. And I'm like, is your house clean? Is there groceries in the cupboard? What do you do all day? Because it's you robbing, your time is robbed. You're not redeeming time. You know? Scripture's talking about busybodies going from house to house. And all they do is on Facebook and on Twitter and what have you. Okay? And they have followers. Oh, see how many followers I have. They're like a celebrity on Twitter. They're just kind of a celebrity. All these people go, oh, let me see what Miley Cyrus has to say. Or let me see what... What's this woman that sings country song that's so puny? Taylor Swift, yeah. I mean, you know, and everybody's following it, and just you have these followers, and then you have these grace-believing guys that says, oh, look at all these followers, guys are listening to my messages, you know. I'm a celebrity. They're following me. They're listening to what I've got to say, but they're not part of local assemblies. They're not part of local churches. You know, Paul says this morning, we talked about the pattern. Paul says, be followers together of me as I also am of Christ. So if you want to see how you need to behave yourself out in the social media and what you need to be doing and how you need to function within, well, as the member of the body of Christ, a member in particular, and as a member of the body of Christ, but and also as a member of the local assembly, which there is order in, you need to and follow the pattern that has been set out for you, and follow the doctrine that's been laid out for you from Romans to Philemon, and follow that, and then make sure that whatever you do outside there is in light of this. Okay? Then you have the group thing. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying this is good. It must be right, because everybody's, you know, there's the group thing that you know, ever heard of peer pressure? You're a youngster and you have a bunch of your peers around you. Say, go for it, go for it, go for it. No, I don't, I shouldn't be doing it. Ah, go for it. And you do it. Now suddenly you get this group thing. Oh, everybody's having a Facebook account. Everybody's, oh, I should do it too. There's this passive approach that people have on the social media and in the internet, because they like that, because they're inactive and they stay out on the outside. They're not part of the race really, and they're not part of the good fight, the fight of faith. They're sitting on the outside. And every now and then they will step in there and throw something out there and step back and it explodes. You know? And you see that. But they're not part of local ministries and local churches. There's no human interaction. Let me tell you something. I feel sorry for people that can't make it to the conference or can't make it to a local church because of sickness and illnesses, and they're stuck in there. You know, that's the best thing they can have to get there. And I can appreciate that, and I can accept that, and that's good. Okay? But there's some people that's just too lazy. And this don't see God's purpose in establishing, who's not prepared, like Richard always say, walk out to front of your house, look around at your address, write it down, says this is where the local church meets in this area. Right. Not prepared to do that. Just, it's easier for me to sit in my pajamas or my pajosters and sit here and have a cup of coffee and eat my cereal and watch what these guys are saying this morning. Oh, this is great. Oh, honey, just put the TV a little soft. I can't exactly, it's just silly stuff I'm talking about now, but that's the reality of what's going on. Let me tell you, the social media has affected our local churches. It has affected mine, I know. They want don't look, and we're going to talk this morning about the local church, but that's the focus on. But if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 quickly. Philippians chapter 1. Like I said, the subject is yeah, I realize I'm not going to be able to cover what I need to cover, but you know, let's just think about some of these things. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and to the saints there. He says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and what? So what does that tell you? There's local churches there, and those local churches have what? They have those people that's in the office of a bishop, and they have those people that's in the office of being deacons, and there's obviously the saints. There's churches with some order in them. You go on the World Wide Web now and you say, hey, who's the bishop? No, we don't have a bishop. No, we don't have deacons. We don't have, you know, no, we're not part of that, you know. No local church. They want no commitment. I will take whatever works for me and where it suits my schedule. This makes it easier for me. Not to make that commitment. The reason why you do that, but it's easiest for you, you know, some of these things come at a cost. Sometimes we have to ride an hour to church. Sometimes we have to ride an hour and a half to church. Sometimes we have to ride and I know some of you listening to this ride an hour and a half. You can't ride to the church. Now, I'm going to tell you what, the local church has an identity this morning, and you can come together in the church. Yes. Don't with that, oh, you're a body of Christ, you can't ride to the church. Guess what? The scriptures will prove you different and show you different to what you're thinking about. You're not searching the scriptures as you ought to be searching them. There's no authority. Who's over you in the Lord? I don't have nobody over me in the Lord. Jesus is my head. Well, Paul, you know, we understand that. We understand Christ is our head, and we understand Christ is the head of the body of Christ, but the body of Christ is made up of local churches from all over the place, and saints from all over the place, and every church has order. And within order of that local church, there's the office of bishops and overseeing elders and deacons. Who's over you in the Lord? I have nobody over me, Lord. I do what I want. I'm answerable to no man. I'm not accountable to anyone. Guess what? As members of the body of Christ, we are accountable to one another because we're accountable to the doctrine. Amen. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So comfort one another. Now you say, well, we can do that on Facebook. So I can comfort. And yes, we can. I can send you a verse of comfort. I can send you words of comfort. And I can comfort you out the other side of the world and have access to you. Sure you have you. And I beseech you, brethren, verse 12, to know them which labor among you. Oh, there's somebody now laboring among you. And so to be among you, guess what? There's some people together. An identity, some together, who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. There's somebody over you in the Lord. But we're all equal in Christ. There's no more Jew, there's no more male. Yes, in body of Christ, but in the order of the local church, there is somebody over you, and it will be the overseeing elder that's ruling in the local church. Who's ruling over you? Nobody rules over me. Christ rules over me. Guess what? You're not following the pattern. You're not getting with the doctrine. And we'll talk a little bit about that if we can get there. I doubt it. But I have friends on Facebook from our church website, from our church Facebook. Friends on there that just love to just copy and paste. You know, we used to call it copy and paste. Now you call it, what is it? Like and share. They like and share so much. Now we do a message on Sunday. I download a message, so it gets uploaded to the internet, and then I go sometimes to the Facebook, and I said, okay, now I'm going to paste this message on here for those that want to listen to it, and you know, they want to, you know, we want to minister. We used to want to use this so that people can hear it. So we copy and paste. I put it in there, and I'm telling you, within 1 or 2 minutes, a few people has liked the message, and a few people have shared the message already. And I'm thinking, you weren't in church on Sunday. You know what I didn't know what I said and what I didn't say or who ever preached. You were not a good Berean to see whether these things are so. But you're sharing it for everybody out there. And then the rest that's following this person again says, oh, she's sharing it, so I better share it too. Chink.
And I could have spoken the most nonsense you could have ever thought of. I could have been not true to the word of God, but you're sharing because, oh, Des Stratum or Richard Jordan or Brian Ross or Eric Waugh, whoever is ministering, oh, they must be right. Guess what? You still have a responsibility to receive the scriptures with readiness of mind and to search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so or not. Amen. That's the dark, that's part of in the word of God for you there to follow and to take care of. And we copy and paste without thinking. We are blind leading the blind. We're just like Israel's leadership. We become just like them. The blind leading the blind. Oh! I'm going to get careful about names now again. So-and-so pasted a beautiful picture of, oh, it's just so wonderful, the nature and stuff, with a verse at the bottom. Oh, we're not going to worry about the verse. The picture is too beautiful. Let's share it. Guess what? It's an NIV or an RSV. And I've had you grace, some of you grace believers, sharing pictures already. Not that I have to police you, but I just note that and say, that's not a King James version. That's a perversion of the King James Bible. But you're just sharing. You're just, oh, so-and-so. Oh, let me do it. The social media swept us up and we just become, take me wherever you want me to take me to. Instead of let God's word tell you where you need to be and what you need to do, and how you need to what you need to approve and not to approve. Proof of in First Philippians chapter 1:11, examine. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. It's too much work to listen to a message for 45 minutes and to see, okay, you know, that's an excellent message. I can approve that. Let me just share that. You know, then we have the others. Somebody a little while ago wrote me and says, oh, I'm busy with somebody, debating with somebody about this subject. That was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, about, you know, suffer with him. They shall also reign with him. Who deny him? He cannot deny himself. And I said, what is your input? And it was a messaging. And I'm messaging this person. And I said, here it is. And this person asked me, says, oh, I'm gonna quote you. I said, no, you're not going to quote me. Don't quote me. I said, you search the scriptures where these things are said. And if you agree with them, then you take it to the other person. But she just wanted, the person just wanted to. She's possibly going to listen to this message too, but but she needs to hear it because I told her out straight out I release. But she says, you know, Des says so. Who cares what Des says? What saith the scripture? Let me tell you something. In the day and age that we're living with, in the absence of leadership, there is an absence of leadership. Some are looking for the truth. There are people out there looking for truth. And they don't know better. They don't know much, but they know they're looking for truth. And they could be led astray so easily. So easily. And they can be misguided so easily. A couple of verses. I'm just going to read it to you for time's sake. I've got them printed out here. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Some out there corrupting the word of God. And people are looking for, because it's so readily available, they could be led astray and misguided. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we just read it here, 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This one has more than ever made sense to me, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for this of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You know, they don't have to creep into houses anymore. They click into houses now. You don't have to knock on a door. You don't have to exert energy anymore. You just click and you have access to a million houses. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19 and 20. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck, of whom Hermanus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I'm going to tell you what, there's something that concerning the faith has made shipwreck, what we understand, what we believe out there. Promoting the tribulation. It's going to take place not before the 7 weeks of Daniel, the prophetic timetable of God, but it's going to take during or after. While we don't hold into an Acts, mid-Acts dispensational view now, now we're in Acts 28 and we promote our causes out there. And everybody can see it, and the people that we want to, it's not just our friends that's seeing it, it's the friends of our friends that's seeing it. Everybody's seeing it. And as fast as we want to see the doctrine go out, the perverting and the perverse and the corrupting of that doctrine goes out at a faster pace. We got to be careful what we do. Then you have these forums and blogs, and I think blogs are great, and think forums are good. I have a problem with forums because let's have this forum because we're all believers together. We can just talk about this. It never all ends up about just talking about it. It almost always ends in strife. It always ends in division. That's all it ends up into. It's to no profit. Striving to no profit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about with words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That word subverting means to the overthrowing the faith of some. Subverting, and he says, striving about with words to no profit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse Eunice chapter, verse 23 there. For foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. You know what? How many foolish questions concerning just silly things about the Word of God being put out there by people? And the only reason people put it out there is to see, see what reaction we're going to get from this. There's no profit in those things. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise their rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 4, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 4. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You read the scriptures, and you just have to, if you know the Word of God to a degree, and even to a degree that I know it, and I've got a lot to learn. You guys obviously know that. I just have to follow and see what's going on. I says, yes, the verses. Look at all this stuff. It's talking about all this stuff that's going on down there. Second Timothy 2, 16 and 7. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. 2 Timothy 4, 4, the passage I was reading to you there. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Don't want to hear the truth anymore. So I'm just throwing a few things out there for you to think about. So how do we know what is error then? How would I know what is wrong for me as a believer? Or what is good and acceptable in the sight of God? I need to have a final authority. I need to have the truth. And I need to study the word of truth. I need to rightly divide it, understand where it fits and how it fits and what God's word is saying. Because when I understand truth, I can acknowledge and I can easily see what is counterfeit. Why? Because I have the truth. And things can have a form of godliness, but they sure deny the power thereof. And a lot of people think they're doing God's service on Facebook because they're posting stuff. But if they're posting stuff and it's not in line with the doctrine, there's a problem. If you want to be part of a ministry, let me tell you something. Do what Paul did when he started out his ministry and God sent him out. Plant some churches. Get involved with planting some churches. Planting some churches. Maybe you understand that language better. Okay? With the doctrine that God has given us. First Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, says, "Be ye followers of me," verse 1, "be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So he's not saying, you follow me as I also am of Christ. So what is Paul a follower of? Christ. What is the doctrine Paul follows? Who did Paul get his doctrine from and his ordinances from that he's now delivering to the church? From Christ. So who does the church need to follow? Who does the saints need to follow? Christ. And they must need to follow the doctrines laid out by Paul, who is the master builder. Right. Okay. And look at the next verse. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." So there's some stuff that Paul has given to put things in order. But I would, verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying and prophesieth with his head, uncovered, dishonored with his head," etc., etc., etc. I'm not going to go into the passage there, but what I want to say is Paul delivered some ordinances, and there's some things that need to set in order. Go with me to chapter 7, Paul again. Chapter 7, he's talking about marriage and divorce and virgins. In chapter 7 and verse 17. "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every man, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches." So where are you going to find what Paul ordained in all the churches? In the Pauline epistles. Right? You're going to see that then. He's ordained it then. He's laid it out for you what you should and shouldn't do. The order, etc., etc. Go with me to Acts chapter 14. Now I'm going to start picking up some pace. Okay. Have you seen those commercials on TV? They only have a 30-minute thing, so they take look at the beautiful car, and then they go that last few seconds. You don't know what they say, but they say something. Okay. So I hopefully you're not going to say that you don't know what I'm saying, but. Acts chapter 14 verse 21. "And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again unto Lystra and an Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them," what? "Elders in every," what? Oh, but there's only the body of Christ. And he says in every church. But with the body, there's no churches, we're the body of Christ. So how do you ordain elders in every church if there's no churches? Local churches. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with them fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So this, what he does, he goes out and he's going to this area and he's preaching Christ. And he's preaching the cross. And people believe the message of the gospel. And when he's preaching and he's establishing, by the way, he didn't spend 2 hours there and preach, and now he's ordaining elders. Okay. This is some time going past there, and he sees who's the elders and who's the faithful men. And then they, what to do? They ordain them elders in every, because there's churches now, and every church needs to have rulership, and they ordain themselves some elders for the rulership of that local church. Now, if you don't have a local church and you're not part of a local ministry, but you have a ministry, who's ruling over you? Who's over you in the Lord? Who's laboring among you in the Lord? The local church is still the center of the work of the ministry. Do never, ever forget that. The local church is still the center for the work of the ministry, and it's still the place where God trains faithful men for the work of the ministry so they can teach other faithful men. It happens in the local church, not on the World Wide Web. And it can happen on the World Wide Web as a result of the local church being in accordance to the Word of God. But it doesn't usurp the authority and the place of the local church. And when your ministry is usurping the authority and putting the local church aside and you're doing this, guess what? You're not walking uprightly according to the doctrine. You contrary to the Word of God. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. God's strategy for the church today is to go out there and evangelize the lost. Preach. God will have all men to be what? Saved. And then come to the knowledge of the truth. So God, that's what God wants to do. So His strategy is, let's get out there. Let's get some souls saved. Let's get some building material that is not sufficient, that is not, what is the word you used? Salvage. Yes, take the salvage and go preach to the salvage and get Christ in them, get the message, so you get the ear of the gospel and get Christ in them and take those people and form a local church. Don't go click, click, click. Now understand, if you're sick and ill and you cannot get anywhere, you know what? Go ahead, click. But tell some people, you know, hey, come visit me. I'd like to have some interaction with some real saints. Now, this is the point I wanted to say. Now, you cannot replace, and I was going to go there earlier, but you cannot replace what we have here this morning. I walked to brother here this morning, and I said, hey, how are you doing, brother? Take my hand, okay? He's reading. And I could walk him, take his hand, and say, how are you doing? He said, things are going down in Florida, I'm doing well, and how, you know, I'm doing in Florida. And so I could talk to these different brothers, and I can be 85. You can't get that on a World Wide Web. You can't get that in the social media. You can, when there is something happening in a physical interaction that you can't have on a click, click, click. And God knows something about that, because He, after all, created us. So go evangelize the lost. Edify the saints. Perfected saints, Ephesians chapter 4 says, perfected saints do the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Where does that take place? Local church. Then, when you've got those saints and you've edified them, you establish the local churches. Believers in communities. Believers in communities become churches. Believers in communities become churches. We meet in homes. Romans chapter 16, chapter 16, 3-5, you can see home, they meet in homes. We can meet in schools. Oh! We don't meet in a building. What's a house? Is that a building? Sure, okay. Paul met in schools, and he was debating in schools about the doctrine, but he also meets in publicly. And guess what? If I'm using a public school, in a building of a public school, am I meeting publicly? Sure. If I meet under a tent or under a tree, and that's where the church comes together, am I meeting publicly? Sure. I go to Kenya. I haven't been to Kenya for a while now, but you know, I've gone to churches there where we sat under a tree. And that's where we minister. That's where the church comes together. It's not limited to the bricks and the type of bricks and mortar and the type of roof that you have on it. But there is a local church. And there's some elders over it. Anyway, I got so much stuff here and I see you sitting there already. We're the body of Christ. We have one head. The body of Christ is all members in one body. All equal in Christ. One head. We're members in particular. Everyone forms his part. But all these members in particular, and all these people, we be part of the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, it is God manifests himself in the body of Christ, but in local churches, in areas, where we're the pillar and ground of the truth, where we're holding forth the word of life. There's some things about the character of the local church I want to just show you for those guys that don't believe we should have a church. There's some identities of our local churches. It's a place where we come together. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now I'm going to be closing off here, I promise you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18. 1st of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there's divisions among you and party, I believe it. So, okay, well, we see, there's division and party. But what's the issue? Or the point I want to bring to you is the first part of that verse, and verse 18 says, 1st of all, when you come together in the church. Oh. If you go down to, Ted, where's your new church building? Oh, you should have said, no, it's a universal church. We don't have an address. But if I said, hey, where's that church where Ted is ministering, or where Ed is ministering, or where whoever's ministering, where's your church? Well, we meet in Rolling Meadows, so we meet and this is the address where you can find the church. And we get together in the church. That's a local church identified for you right there. It's a place for teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, you can. Verse 19 says, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words. Oh, guess what? When he gets together in this place, and he calls it when you get together in the church, it's a place where there's rules and conduct. When it's speaking about tongues, etc. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 and 35, let your women keep silence in the churches. So there's a multiple of churches, and there's local churches. It has a local identity. And those that are laboring over you, and there's task of elders. You know, when he says, go with me, First Timothy, I'm going to close off. I promise you. First, I'm not going to be Brian, like Brian says, I promise you, and never really come through with a promise. I'm going to be honest with you. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying. Verse 1. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, good, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, no filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. So he's writing these things for the order of the local churches and how to behave in the local churches. Verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house. Okay, so he needs to rule out his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And then he says in parenthesis, verse 5, For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So guess me, tell myself, there is some rulership taking place in a local church. Now this rulership is not an issue of rulership. I have dominion over you, and you're going to do what I'm telling you because I'm the preacher. Rulership is you're going to stay within the bounds of the doctrine, and this church is going to function and take its place within the bounds of what the doctrine allows for us to do. That's the job of the bishop, the office of the bishop, and the elders in the local church, to make sure that we function within the borders of the doctrine allows us to. And how can I do that if my own house doesn't function within that doctrine? So guess what? Local churches has what? Rulership. When a husband and a wife is married, who's the head? I must ask the woman, who's the head? The husband. There's order. But in the body of Christ, aren't we all equal? Yes. There's no more male and female monitoring. But there's order in the walk and the living out while we're on this earth until we get raptured and caught up. I don't know if you see what I'm seeing. And maybe you're thinking I might just make much about nothing. Well, let me tell you something. There is an attack on God that God is doing in this dispensation of His grace until we're going to be caught up and be raptured up. And that attack is on the local churches and in the message and the doctrine that we teach in that local churches. And He wants to take your authority away with you from the local churches and replace it by the worldwide social web. And guess what? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And we need to be careful. And I know there's much to be said about this. Redeeming the time because the days, Ephesians 5 and 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's redeem the time. Let's not be busybodies. Let's not be gossiping. Let's not be click, 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 click all day, but let's get on with the work of the ministry. Let's be part of and establishing functional local churches where saints are edified and where people are drawn to the truth and can come to and hear. Unbelievers can come in, according to 1 Corinthians 14, and hear the word of God preached. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You that You can consider some few simple facts here in Your word. And we pray that You give us the understanding in all things in Christ. Amen. Thank you.